So just stand in that name. Just stand under that name. Stand under the shadow of that name right now. The most powerful name on earth. Just stand under the shadow of the name. It's the best place to stand. Just standing under the name of Jesus. And allowing it to cover everything. Every heartache, every joy, every pain, every disappointment, every bit of confusion, every bit of hope, every bit of joy, every bit of celebration. Church, stand under the name. And if you can't stand, sit under the name. If you can't sit, lie under the name. So this next song we're going to sing has been one of those anthems for me in recent years that has really shaped my theology and my thinking. Perhaps you just like to sit down. Has just really shaped some of my thinking around God. And I don't know where you find yourself at the moment. I don't know whether you're in a place which feels very strong or quite broken and vulnerable or whatever. I'm personally in a mixture of places around that. I'm finding certain areas of my life I feel very, very strong. In other areas, I'm feeling pretty broken at the moment. Feeling quite vulnerable, going through quite a lot with one of my children at the moment. And whenever we sing this song, I always think of Jan. And I think of Joshua. I think of my father. And I think of those we've lost. Steve and his mum. There's something about them heralding us on. There's something about them standing on heaven's shore and just being with us and just running with us still. And there's something about that that's so beautiful in this song. So I just pray it ministers to you. And as I share today, what I want to share, I don't want to put a load on you. I just want to share some things I believe are at the core of who we are as a community. I believe in this church. And I believe this church has a unique role in this world. Not just in this community, in this world, in this planet, to actually do something and change something. And I believe there are certain things that God's placed here which are very precious. And I want to speak in some of that stuff fresh again, so it's nothing very new. But just to remind us of some things that I believe God's called us to as a community and some things he wants to do with us.
I see your face, you're beautiful.
So it's going to be a day when you see his face. You see but a shadow, but a reflection now. But there's going to be a day when you're going to stand in front of him and you're going to see his face. Capture that moment in your heart right now. And as you look into his face, behind his face will be a whole gallery, a whole theatre of people who followed him, who know him, who loved him, and who've walked with him. Some understanding him well, some not really understanding him at all. Some who've wandered away loads and loads of times and have just sneaked in. Some are going to surprise you. Who's there? Some you thought were going to be there won't be there. Graham, can you do the first line? You see, your history speaks to your future. I look across this room and I see many people whose history has been invested in the Christ. I see many people who have just given tens and tens of years of their lives to the Christ. I see some who've just joined. You're so welcome. Your history speaks to your future. Your history shapes your future. And if you think you've made an investment into God, imagine the investment he's made into you. His investment into you is of the scale of the heavens, is of the scale of the galaxies, is of the scale of creating our universe for you to reside in it. That is the level of his commitment to you. So when you look up and you see a starlit night, you understand this galaxy has been created for you to live here. That is the extent of his history in your life. The billions of years when the stars were flung into space is your history. Before you even knew him, he was carving out your life. So your history, that total commitment of God to you, speaks into your future. That is the basis on which you and I stand. Not on the basis of our actions, but on the basis of his overwhelming commitment to us, to love us, and to create us, and to craft us. Greg, could you do the next slide? I'll never get the buzzer thing right. I'm just crap at that. So I want to talk about remaining in him. I want to talk about how it is do we remain actually in the presence of that person. And there's a verse in John 15 which talks about the vine, and it talks about, you probably know it really, really well, and it's, you know, I am the true vine, my Father's a vine dresser, every branch of me that bears no fruit gets cut off, and da-da-da-da-da. And I've read that verse just hundreds of times. Could you go to the next one, mate? But then I read it in the Passion. Kerry's got me, you know, Kerry's a Passion evangelist, basically. You realise that's the only version you can now read. You do understand that, don't you? And I read this. And when I read it, it was like I'd never read it before. Because I suddenly understood at a new level God's commitment to me. And I'd kind of read pruning as, so Alistair, when you're a bit crap, God sort of gets rid of that bit in you and just isn't actually dreadfully pleased with you, and that isn't fantastically good, and that's pruning, and Alistair, there are things in your life that really need sorting out, so just go and get a bit pruned. And whenever I read that verse, it was always, for me, no matter how I read it, there was a sense of judgment in it. There was a sense of being discarded. There was a sense that bits of me were being discarded. And okay, I do want bits of me discarded, but it didn't quite register until I read it in this version. So I want you to understand that every time you screw up, mess up, get wrong, do things wrong, whatever, I want you to understand as I take you through this verse that Father takes that and uses that. He doesn't just discard it. I am a sprouting vine, this is Jesus, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. Obviously, therefore, it's Jesus. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting up and propping up the fruitless branches. Now, I'd never read it before in that version. So what happens is, at the bottom of a vine are all these branches near the earth that aren't actually very good. And what he actually does is he props them, the vine dresser props them, and he binds them to the vine. He lifts them up. He takes the very big bits in you that you spent your life struggling with, that you think aren't very good, that you feel aren't really under the grace of God, that you feel don't actually serve you very well, the very things that you feel that trip you up again and again and again. Am I the only one that gets tripped up? To produce together a harvest. Vineyard that believes in living together, in letting it all hang out and be real. And not be trying to have the hard conversations. The
vineyard that doesn't impose a set of rules and regulations, but a vineyard that allows dialogue, that allows different views within the vineyard, that doesn't dictate, but encourages life, that encourages discovery, that encourages grace. That's what we're about. We're about living together and creating something as beautiful as this. Isn't it beautiful? And we can't do it on our own. And we might at times find it hard to be in this vineyard. And I know the people in this room that have left this vineyard and gone to other vineyards and come backwards and forwards. I don't care how many times you go backwards and forwards, you're welcome. You're welcome. Because we haven't built the fortress. We're not defending truth. We built flags that you gather under. And we say, come stand under our flag. And just don't want the flag might change next week, so don't get confused. It's God might be ours. We want to make it as easy to come and as easy to go as we can. Because we've got nothing to defend. Pardon? No. The truth defends itself. Hello? So we're here for a lifetime. I've just been in Canada for 3 weeks with my family. Should have shut up some Canada shops, I realised. If you think we've got trees, go to Canada. No, we've got the bushes. If you think we've got mountains, go to Canada. The Rockies kind of starts at 2,500 feet, is where the Alps finish off. It's a bit of a different scale. When you cut a tree through and you see the girth of the tree. So I've got this tree in my garden that when I was, I don't know, when I first moved in 20 years ago, it's about as high as that speaker came. It's a flipping monster now, you know, it's a Douglas fir thing, I don't know what it is, it's a big tree. The width of this thing's just gone ballistic. It was like a little sapling and now it's just massive. And you know, every one of these lines, every one of these growth rings speaks of a year's growth, doesn't it? And every one of these lines is an event in your life. And some of these events are really painful. Some of these events are really disappointing. Some of these events nearly take you out. Some of these events create great joy in your life. Some of these events are very powerful. Some of these events are full of weakness. Some of these events really annoyingly keep repeating themselves. The same flipping ring, again, again, again. Do you really expect me to go through that ring again? I've not quite learned that one. Yeah. Am I the only one? Every line there. It's God's investment into you. And as a community, we walk those lines out together, don't we? We walk out together. And as we do that, as I, it's like when you're first a Christian, it's just so easy, isn't it? It's all so straightforward. It's about three things you believe, and you just find out what they are. And you get, I mean, you're like a little sapling, and you just go, you go up really high, and it's not the heavy prayers answered, everything's great, isn't it? As you get older, you think, my God, isn't growing hard? Am I the only one? Yes, doesn't it get tougher? Don't the questions get more complex? Are there unanswered questions even more? Or am I the only one? Yeah? Don't your views on spiritual warfare go all over the place? Don't your views on sexuality go all over the place? Don't views on all sorts of things. But there is a God in heaven who is committed to you in a lifelong union to grow you. One of the most next slide. One of the foundations we stand on is the foundation of grace. You know the story of the vineyard grower? Look at this place. Next. Now, I want you to know, I don't like this verse. I want you to know, part of me does not believe this at all. Okay? I want you to know, as a business owner, this is a very annoying verse in Scripture. An extremely annoying verse in Scripture.
Oh, yes.
For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for the vineyard. He agreed to pay them on all day's wages and set them out to work. Great, I'm on the page. I've got a paying you here. This is my company. You're doing a job. Get out there, do it. I'll pay you well. Look after you well. This is going so well. This verse so far is going so well. And 9 o'clock in the morning, good time to start work. He was parking at the marketplace and saw fruit. At 9 o'clock, they were been out for hours, by the way. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he's passing through the marketplace. The storekeeper standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right to end the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again, and at three, he did the same thing. At five in the afternoon, he was in town again. The storekeeper standing around asked them, why haven't you worked today? And they replied, because no one hired us. And the landlord told them, then go out and join the others in the vineyard. In the evening, he told them to call us together. Begin with ask the first. Then those who hired at 5 o'clock were paid, and each received a full day's pay. That is so annoying. It's good if you arrived at 5. It's not good if you arrived at 9. Come on, this is an outrageous verse. Even Corbyn doesn't believe that. Yeah, he certainly doesn't believe that. Do you know what that is? It's outrageous grace. You can't do a thing to earn the love of God more. You can't do a thing to earn the love of God more. You can't do a thing to earn the love of God more. This is the gospel. There are times in your life where you've been very, very faithful and you've started at the beginning of the day and you've worked your proverbial nuts off during the day to deliver. There have been other areas, let's be honest, where you've skimmed it. And others have carried the load. Is that not true?
Yeah.
And God's grace covers all of that. It's an extraordinary piece of scripture. But do we really believe it? I feel I'm just beginning to believe it. I'm just beginning to understand what that really means. Next. The Holy Spirit has many names. We sense fire and all sorts of things. But for me, the one that most sums up my walk with Christ and my walk with the Holy Spirit is this. Next verse. I will send you the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father. Wow. I'm going to send him straight from the Father. And he will come to you, the Spirit of Truth, emanating from the Father. And he will speak to you about me. He will have conversations with you about me. And he will reveal me. He will explain me. He will unpack me. He will illustrate me. He will draw me. He will sculpt me. He will just make me so plain. He'll visualize me. He'll run the film about me. He'll run the soundtrack about me. He'll run everything about me. He will just show you what it's like. He'll reveal it. The darkness will go and the light will come, and he will reveal it to me. And he will tell you everything. He will tell everyone the truth about me. For you have walked with me from the start. Oh my God. Is that much on our side? Sarah, would you like to play some music? So for some of you, it's been really hard to fit in the vineyard. It just hasn't felt home at times. And you've gone from vineyard to vineyard, and it's just, you know, you're just trying to find that sense of belonging. And of course you discover there is no perfect vineyard, because there is new joy, and it gets ruined anyway, so, you know, that's the end of your time. The vineyard's not been a happy place, not been a good place to find a home, and you never quite felt you fitted, and you're still struggling to understand why the vineyard does certain things, believes certain things, and works in certain ways, and you think, do you know, at times this vineyard doesn't feel actually very good, and I don't really agree with half of what's going on in the vineyard anyway, and, oh my word, I really am searching for the grapes at the moment. And for some of you, what it's like, courage. And I want to call you to intimacy. And if you're in the band where, like me, it's like, just hold on at the moment. I won't get anybody up the front, but I would just like specifically to pray with those three groups. So if, like me, you're in the band at the moment where it is just hold on, I would just like you to stand up, please. Just as an acknowledgement that you just need to hold on. And then for us just to minister to you.